Hi there, I'm Jim.
I'm Johanna.
I'm Andover.
Let's talk teaching. Welcome to Let's Talk Teaching, a podcast from the Center for Integrated Professional Development here at Illinois State University. I'm Jim G. I am so happy I nailed that intro because we have changed our name, and that's what we're talking about today. Joining me, returning to our Pokey Little podcast, is Dr. Johanna Cuenco-Carlino, who is the Assistant Vice President for Faculty Development, Diversity. Oh, no, you go ahead and say it.
I know, I have a long title. Yeah. Faculty Development, Diversity, and Learning.
See, I should know this by now. And joining us for the first time on our podcast, we're very pleased to have Dr. Andave Tarhuli, who is, I'm going to get his title correct, who is the Vice President for Academic Affairs and Provost here at Illinois State.
Excellent, Jim. Excellent.
Thank you. Thank you for coming, both of you. So we're really excited. Johanna, you and I did an episode around the beginning of the year where we talked about what we were planning to do. Well, we've actually started to do it. And we have changed our name from the Center for Teaching, Learning, and Technology to the Center for Integrated Professional Development. That's nice. It reflects what we're going to be doing, but what we're going to be doing is the more important thing. So can you give me just your initial thoughts on how the change is going and why we're doing this change?
Sure. And in that previous episode, well, first of all, thank you for having us again. Last time that we talked about, I briefly explained a little bit about the process that we went through to get to where we are today. So this was like a 2-year process in terms of looking at data, faculty surveys, focus groups, but also looking at what other institutions have been doing in better supporting, you know, faculty in a more holistic way, right? And that's the piece about the integration and the holistic pieces of it, because when we think about faculty in academia and instructors, right, they are not only focusing on the teaching aspects of it, but they also have scholarship, they also have service, and also that the well-being and the balance, right, that integration with all of those. And there's instances where their teaching will integrate with their scholarship, their service might integrate with their teaching as well. So there are opportunities for those integrations and collaborations, you know, that occur across that. So the vision really for the center is to provide support for faculty instructors, right, at all levels of their career. What a faculty member at their, you know, who is new to ISU or it's just starting to understand the university, the processes is very different from that seasoned faculty who has been here for years, right? So we're trying to really develop programming that will support faculty across their career stages and help them grow, right? Because that's the whole goal. We have to engage in a continuous growth, and that means perhaps thinking about or rethinking our teaching practices or coming up with new ways to study our teaching practices, because that all impacts student success, right? And the same, our scholarship will continue to grow, you know, as we develop our line of scholarship or as we seek new, for example, grants to help support, you know, different projects that we have. So those things kind of integrate, and that is our whole idea. The other piece to it, and we learned a lot about online learning during the pandemic, and it became very clear that as an institution, we needed to also think about reaching other students in, you know, through online learning. And but teaching online, it's also has to be of quality. Teaching online, there are specific ways and evidence-based practices on how to teach online. And so it's thinking about also with the idea of like student success, right? Yeah. And developing new programs potentially to grow our enrollments and so forth. Yeah. So that's in general, very, very brief way, what the center is.
Absolutely. And we'll link to that past podcast episode, too, so people can hear us talk about it a little bit more depth. I think the two words that really popped out for me, well, many words popped out for me in that, but data and evidence. And I see the provost nodding. I happen to know our provost has a predilection for asking, okay, what are the numbers? So, Dr. Tarhuli, with online programming, when we're talking about online offerings for our students on campus, we're not talking about just online courses anymore, are we?
No, we're not. Jim, first of all, I'd like to say thank you so much for having me on this program.
Thank you.
It is the first time I'm on it, and I'm delighted to participate. Before I answer your question, I'd like to begin by really saying thank you to Johanna.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as you heard in her explanation to your previous question, her energy and her vision and her leadership and her passion and her advocacy, all of those, I can't say enough good things about what Johanna has done to move not just CTLT to where we are today, talking about the Center for Integrated Professional Development, but also to move the university in terms of a mindset into different focus on what does professional development mean and what do our faculty need. So thank you so much, Johanna. I appreciate what you have done, and I'm very delighted and appreciative for the time that we've had to work together.
Thank you.
So, Jim, to answer your question, you asked about online education. So as Johanna mentioned, we learned during the pandemic that there's nobody at ISU, or there was nobody at ISU dedicated to online education. And so in March of 2020, when we had to go online, we did it because everybody did it. Mm-hmm. But we did it because we had to. And we had, as a university, no strategy. And so this was one of those gaps that became very evident. And so with Johanna's leadership, we developed very quickly a vision and a strategy during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. For online education. So we effectively created a new unit in the Center for Integrated Professional Development. Mm-hmm. And Johanna ran a very effective and competitive national search. And we're very delighted that Anthony Pena is joining us as the director of that unit. What do we anticipate of that unit? From my perspective, two major goals. Number one is to have the lead contact person who will be the face of online education, who will be the direct contact, who will be that individual that everyone at ISU knows, if I have a need in online education, this is the person I go to.
Mm-hmm.
So the coordinator, the director, the vision for online education. That's huge in itself because we have two types of challenges with respect to online education at ISU. Number one is our footprint is simply almost non-existent. We don't have nearly enough of a presence online as we should in terms of the number of programming that we should have. And so Tony is going to be leading us in that direction. One of the first things I expect he will do is to create a vision and a strategy for how we expand that footprint. So that's the first challenge. That's the first gap. And the second is even amongst the programs that we already have online, there's very little coordination. There's very little synergy.
Mm-hmm.
And there is very little help and support for faculty who want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the things that I expect the new director for online education to focus on. Ultimately, if it works as well as I hope and as I'm confident it will, we will have a very clear strategy about online education that everybody knows. We will have a resource point that everybody knows what they can get and where they can go to get what they need for whatever resources they need. And then ultimately, what I like to see is to have more programs that are online, degree programs.
Mm-hmm.
We have some online programs in the School of Business and in nursing. I think we can do a lot more than that. So how many more completely online degree programs can we create that cater to demographics out there who are unable to physically be in residence at ISU?
Mm-hmm.
So that's one. And the second is, what have we learned from the pandemic that we can take into the post-pandemic landscape?
Mm-hmm.
What are those courses? So I talk about programs, meaning entire degree programs.
Right.
And individual courses. What are some of those courses that we did so well that we think we can continue to do, even post-pandemic? These are things that need to be thought about very strategically with a lot of vision, with a lot of intentionality. And so I think those are some of my expectations for the new online unit.
And we've talked in various episodes, I've talked with you, Johanna, and others about the impact of the pandemic, and we don't want to minimize what hardship it was, but if you look for silver linings, the proverbial silver linings, we got that data, that evidence that we can move forward, where I have no doubt that Illinois State University as an institution would have eventually started to do this. We wouldn't have had a choice. But in some ways, mm-hmm. you know, the rubber really met the road during the pandemic, and it kind of gave us some inertia that we're capitalizing on now. Now, online education or online teaching is still teaching. There's mm-hmm. still a teaching component to it. So the other half of the house, as it were, at the Center for Integrated Professional Development is our Director of Scholarly Teaching, who folks on this podcast will know because it's Dr. Jennifer Freeberg, mm-hmm. who's also been reappointed as the Cross Endowed Chair in the Scholarship of Teaching and Learning. So can you talk, Johanna, and we've talked about scholarly teaching before too, give us the elevator speech, the 30 seconds on what it is, and then how do you see the two sides playing with each other?
Okay. Well, absolutely. And they should be playing as part of the integrated piece of the professional development. So that's something that is going to happen externally for the stakeholders, but also internally as an integrated center, right? Before I answer that question, I also want to acknowledge the many people that work with me, you know, throughout the past 2 years to actually get to where we are. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the folks here at the center, we work together. And a lot of people, stakeholders from the university, work together, you know, to formulate the vision that we're doing today. So I also wanted to thank, you know, everyone for their contribution. So one of the big changes also for the center is the combination of scholarly teaching, which is actually utilizing evidence-based teaching practices, right, to inform our teaching, mm-hmm. but also for those faculty who want to go and study their own teaching practices, have the ability to do that through the Scholarship of Teaching and Learning. So that's why this new unit or subunit as part of the Center for Integrated Professional Development, it's called Scholarly Teaching, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's that whole idea about not everyone would want to study perhaps their teaching, but everyone should be teaching scholarly. And that mm-hmm. means there are tons of evidence practices, mm-hmm. a lot of research talking about the importance, strategies and ways in which, you know, are effective for teaching our students. We also ran a national search for selecting the director of scholarly teaching, and the best person for the job was Dr. Mm-hmm. Jennifer Freeberg, who is a very recognized scholar in the scholar of teaching and learning mm-hmm. nationally and internationally, yes. right? So one of the things that the expectation is that Tony and Jen will be working together. Tony, our director of online learning and chief online learning officer, and, you know, Jen as the director for scholarly teaching, in really thinking about what are the evidence-based practices that also occur in online learning. So it's internally there's going to be a lot of integration, and also externally right. in terms of even studying our online practices. And Tony has a lot of great ideas coming up about also ways in which we could actually recognize good online teaching, you know, mm-hmm. just as we recognize, you know, in general teaching, and we have the awards for teaching.
I couldn't agree more. And Jim, I think there's several things that excite me about this center. Mm-hmm. First of all, those units should be together, exactly as Johanna has said, for two important reasons. Mm-hmm. Number one, we have to think about what our motto of this university is. Gladly, we learn and teach. Remember, we learn is the first part of that motto, right? Mm-hmm. And so as teachers need to also learn, and in particular in academia, more so than many other industries, our preparation to be teachers tends to be very minimal mm-hmm. or sometimes non-existent. Perhaps if you go to an education college, or if you were lucky enough to have a degree in education, you learned how to teach. But outside of that, most university lecturers don't formally learn to teach. And so having this opportunity, mm-hmm. this resource, where faculty can avail themselves of an ability and the opportunity to learn, what am I doing right? How can I be a better, more effective, more empathetic, more successful teacher? You can't underestimate that. So as a center, the Center for Integrated Professional Development is absolutely amazing. So we often, you know, ask the question sometimes, how many times do we wonder who teaches the teachers? And sometimes in academia, we don't do that. So this is an opportunity to teach the teachers and to provide an opportunity for the teachers to learn. So that's one of the things that excites me about this center. The second is the quality of the leadership that we have. Jennifer Freeberg, as Johanna said, absolutely outstanding a scholar, a leader, and an absolutely amazing individual. So I think she's great in this position. She's uniquely qualified, and I'm very confident that she's going to take us places. And Tony, our new chief online officer, I think he was the most qualified candidate in that for that position. I'm excited about the ideas he brings. I'm very excited about the experiences that he's going to bring to us. And I'm sure we're going to develop a vision that will take us to the next level. I have no doubt at all about it. So much to be excited about. And I hope that the faculty begins to take advantage of this. And then to take that requirement, those expectations about teaching, and put those resources together in a synergistic, complementary manner to the other aspects Johanna mentioned, holistic requirements and expectations of what a faculty member goes through, time management, research expectations, work-life balance, to have all of those resources in one place, essentially a hub where faculty can come to get information on whatever they need, whether it's teaching, whether it's research, whether it's time management, work-life balances. I think it's going to be great, and I think our faculty is going to love this. And then the final piece to it is, of course, that trajectory. We tend to pay a lot of attention to tenure-track faculty. A lot of departments and administrations do that, and we should, because that's the time when faculty are at their most vulnerable. They're still trying to find their place. They're trying to establish their careers. We don't do nearly as much after they get tenure, and that's a very risky point, because we find that some faculty stagnate or they stall at that point. What we're doing with this new center is to support faculty throughout the trajectory of their professional career. It's not just when you're pre-tenure, it's also after you have achieved tenure. How do you continue that forward momentum, that progress that you established as a pre-tenure faculty? How do you continue to become successful? You become a full professor. And after you become a full professor, the life doesn't end at full professorship. How do you become even more regionally known? How do you become even more impactful? How do you make a greater, you know, on the society and so on? And whatever your career goals and aspirations may be, these are the things that the Center for Integrated Professional Development are going to be dealing with. And I think it's going to be amazing for our faculty.
We're bandying about using the phrase hub in the title of the unit, but you know, we have a sort of this sort of mantra that we're trying to develop, which is that we are your hub for transformative teaching, which is a phrase that we've often used, you know, to provide students with transformative experiences, whether that's through teaching, connecting them with your research, etc. We also want to be a hub for scholarship and for career advancement, like you were talking about, Dr. Tarhouli. But the other thing is, as we've said all along, we want to teach them, we want to help them and support them as entire people. We recognize that not only does life not stop when you reach full professor, but life is a big, complicated thing all through the journey that is not just about your time in the classroom or your time during doing research. So, Johanna, I know that there are some things that the new center is not going to do directly, but we're hoping to partner with other units on campus. Did you want to speak a little bit about that?
Sure, absolutely. And we have had, for example, we started to do some programs or gathering some resources for the university to help, you know, faculty in all these areas. For example, we have a membership for the National Center for Faculty Development and Diversity. This year, for the first time, we offered partial scholarships for faculty to participate in the Faculty Success Program, which actually addresses issues with time management, writing routines, all the things that, that Provost Tarhouli was talking about. So all those resources will continue and will be actually advertised and promoted through the center as well. In July, we get the data from Coach survey, right. And that also will help us inform a lot of the professional development, right, that we need for teaching and scholarship.
And for those who aren't familiar, Coach is a national survey partnering with Harvard University's Graduate School of Education, which was a very comprehensive and the first time on our campus, if I remember correctly, survey of faculty needs across the spectrum.
So. Correct. And we got a fantastic response rate. Actually, we beat all the other institutions. 54%, response rate. So those results will be coming in July. But the other piece is, yes, as you said, we are going to partner, right, with the Office of Research. In fact, we have had various conversations with Dr. Craig McLaughlin and, the AVP for research. In terms of how can we help promote and also partner with some offerings through the center in partnership with like the Office of Research. So we started talking about, perhaps doing a session on how to use a specific research tools.
Right.
We have heard from faculty that they want more, for example, training on Qualtrics. So that's one thing that we're looking into offering, training for grants that they already have and then, through us, but also have panels about, what does it mean to be a good, researcher or like, collaborate with others and so forth. So that's one partnership, right? Mm-hmm. That we have established and we're working now to build that structure. So this is really the third leg of that center, right?
Eventually,
to get to that piece. Milner, it's another partner. They do great. They have great resources and a great support for faculty. So we want to continue. We already partner with them, but we want to make that more visible, I guess, and help perhaps offer some workshops or supports or connect to what they are offering through their website as well. As far as understanding predatory journals and how to do citation analyses and all those different things that help support the career of faculty. We also partner with Dr. Rosie Hawk.
Right. Yeah.
And thinking about technology supports for faculty as it relates to teaching, as it relates to scholarship and all those. So all those will be partnerships. And HR is, it's also thinking
they
about.
They do trainings.
They do trainings. Yeah. So a way of connecting and helping everyone identify resources in a easier way.
I flippantly in meetings kind of use a quote from Miracle on 34th Street, the old Christmas movie. If we don't have it here at Macy's, we'll send you down the road to Gimbel's. But it's actually more than that. It is a true partnership in that regard, what we're trying to forge here, I know.
Let me piggyback on something Johanna has said, which in terms of what we've heard from faculty and why we're doing all of this. Almost everything we're talking about emerged because we're listening to the faculty. And the faculty is saying, this is what we want. So last year, in February of 21, Academic Affairs had a major retreat. We took 6 months preparing for that retreat. We had 10 different working groups addressing different aspects of campus and academic affairs life. Mm-hmm. And we had, in total, about 125 unique individuals involved in this work groups and discussions. And when we held the retreat, one of the things we heard abundantly was the need to support faculty. That was when we learned, at least I learned, that we'd never had a systematic survey of faculty expectations and work experiences. So the program that Johanna mentioned, COACH, the Collaborative on Academic Careers in Higher Education, what it does is to have a very expansive survey of what faculty are feeling. And it's not just our faculty. We have an opportunity to benchmark ourselves against other institutions, more than 300 institutions in that database. I am very delighted that each and every one of our deans has asked for more in-depth information about their colleges so they can benchmark their faculty life experiences and expectations against other colleges that they, the deans, will choose. Mm-hmm. So not only are we getting the data at the institutional level that we will be analyzing and developing strategies to, each academic college is also getting the data unique to their industry. So I think you see here a very concerted effort at different levels of the university to try and figure out what our faculty is experiencing and what the short gaps, the shortcomings are in those experiences and how ISU can do better. So I'm very delighted, and I'd like to stress that point that we are doing this in response to faculty aspirations, in response to faculty experiences and what they're telling us in the past. And I should mention that when we talk a lot about how to help our faculty improve, I want to be absolutely crystal clear and leave no mistake at all. Somebody listening to this might wonder, oh gosh, maybe ISU doesn't have good instructors. Far from it.
Right.
The very fact that we are trying to figure out how we can be better, I think it's a measure of the seriousness that we take education and teaching at this university. If it didn't matter to us, we wouldn't care. I think everybody knows, and I'm sure I don't have to make this point, that we pride ourselves on having an individualized focus, attention, and student-focused education at this institution that is bar none in the state. And so we have the great teachers, and what we're trying to do is how do we make our teachers even better?
Right.
And in some cases, we know that our teachers are excellent and they've done a good job, but how can we relieve some of them of the burden of getting there? How can they get to that point faster, easier, in a more streamlined fashion so that they have even more time to devote to other aspects of their career development, like research, like building networks, and so on. So I guess my summary here is everything you hear about, everything we're trying to do with this center is in response to what our faculty is telling us they'd like to see. And we're trying to meet that response. And the second part about the effort we're putting in teaching simply reflects our emphasis and the pride we take in being excellent teachers and in making sure that we continue to be excellent teachers, and we make that process of effective and excellent teaching as easy and as rewarding for our faculty as possible.
And this entire process that we're talking about doesn't end anytime soon. It's always, you know, just as there's lifelong learning, there is lifelong development and redevelopment of our center. So it's going to be an iterative process. So when folks go online to our new URL, our new web address, which I'm going to have to remember and say here in a couple of minutes, they're going to see largely the same website right now. And we're going to be adding resources, making it easier to find stuff depending on how you're identifying where you're at in your career, what your interests are, and that sort of thing. And there's some other changes that are going to be taking place too. So, Johanna, you're going to be moving over to become the chair of the Department of Special Education.
That's correct, yes.
So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
And why don't you tell us a little bit about who's going to be
Sure. I'm excited. And, you know, so Dr. Danica Van, she will be taking over as interim this coming year. And she and I have been working together along with the team as well to talk about all the changes in the, you know, in the center. And, you know, she will continue to work and collaborate with all the partners to continue to move this forward. Right. So we have established the first phase of the center. Right. As I mentioned, the online, the scholarly teaching unit, and then starting to build that third or formalize, I guess, a little bit better, more the career advancement, the scholarship in partnership with that. So, you know, that's another change coming up.
Right.
But the good thing is that I'm still going to be here.
Yeah, we hope you will be back.
Absolutely.
On, you know?
And I will be sending my faculty also, right? And encouraging them to attend. Yes.
Jim, I don't know if I can chip in one more word.
Sure.
I'm really going to miss Johanna in the provost office. She's been a pleasure to work with, as I said before, an out-of-the-box thinker, absolutely boundless energy. But I'm delighted because I know the Department of Special Education is gaining an experienced, very visionary leader, and she'll continue to be here. So I hope I continue to work with her in that sense. But as you mentioned, we will have a new Dr. Danica Avant will be taking over. And as you've heard from all the different collaborations and entities and offices that the center is already working with, this is an institutional transformation. And that transformation is going to continue. We're going to continue to build on the solid foundation that Johanna has laid. And we will work with those different entities and these plans because they were articulated as part of our priorities in the academic affairs retreat. We fully expect to continue to be responsive and supportive to our faculty. And so I would say the best is yet to come. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking forward mm-hmm. to what the center can be. I think it's a very exciting time to be at ISU, and I'm excited.
Andave, Johanna, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's all the time we have for this episode of Let's Talk Teaching. Find out more about the changes coming to the Center for Integrated Professional Development and go to our new website, PRODEV, that's PRODEV.illinoisstate.edu. For Dr. Tarhuli, for Dr. Cuenca Carlino, and for all of my colleagues here at the Center, until we talk again, happy teaching.